Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Tiernan.
What it do?
Go Birds first.
Go Birds.
So, okay. It is nice to see that the Birds beat the Falcons in the way that they did. We are going to go through this game quarter by quarter and give you our thoughts. In the meantime, Jalen Hurts looked promising. Nick Sirianni, I think, in my mind, there's a couple play calls that he made that were questionable. But for the most part, he was fine. I'm not as worried. And I think that goes to show maybe we shouldn't put so much weight into press conferences.
Yeah, dude. Very, very promising. I think promising is probably the best word to describe what happened yesterday. Jalen Hurts was very impressive. Nick Sirianni called a very solid game. The defense was outstanding. Just overall, a very, very solid performance.
Now, it is just the Falcons.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because the stretch the Eagles have coming up is the 49ers, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Listen, the Eagles defense played really well this weekend, except for the first drive for some reason. But Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
That's the game that scares me. But for now, go Birds.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be tested. You know, this, like you said, this next stretch is going to be very tough. And even after that, it's still not a cakewalk. But
yeah, the Chargers, the Saints, these games are all going to be tight.
Yeah, Chargers, Saints, Buccaneers too. So, yeah, we got a tough going up ahead. But yeah, I mean, just a great performance, and now we have a real test. No offense to Atlanta fans, but you know, Atlanta's not the greatest team. But you know, now we have a legitimate test in San Francisco this week. After they almost blew a lead against the Lions. They didn't, though. So
what the game plan is, we're going to go through this game and we're going to go through the next few upcoming games. And it's only week one, so these projections will probably change. But, you know, I think the one thing that we have to do is keep a level head. You should never just go into a season thinking that the Eagles are going to win every game or lose every single game. The Eagles' performance last year was very, very, very bad. I was going to say subpar, but it was worse than that. So I changed the way that I was thinking. But I don't want to get overly excited over one game with this tough stretch coming up. And, you know, we'll go over everything. And I am just so excited that football's back.
Yeah, man. Excited football's back, and just very pleasantly surprised on how the Birds played.
Yeah. Well, moving on from excitement to potential disappointment, the Phillies.
Man, did you think it'd get worse?
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, I did, because it's the Phillies.
Yeah, you're right. It's only gotten worse.
Yeah, this is another year wasted, and a potential MVP year for Bryce Harper wasted.
He's the only one that cares.
I don't know if he's the only one that cares. It's just they can't get it together. And then they get it together for like these stretches, and you see these winning streaks, and then they'll lose two or three to the Marlins. And we're getting down to the stretch here, and it's still going to be close, and they might pull it out if they perform well, but I don't know.
Like, you're losing games to the Rockies.
You did you predicted that in the last podcast. It's a shame.
And it's funny, like, they had the lead in the first game with two outs and two strikes on the last batter of the game, and we lose.
That sounds about right.
Then you get blown out the next day. You win, and then you lose by one again. Like, you're losing series to the Colorado Rockies.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, what else is there to say about this team, bro?
I got nothing left. What you say, Chippy?
Cue the Rocky music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production, enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in the huddle and talk some birds, baby. Go birds.
Go birds. Go birds.
Nice. Nice. Birds win in Atlanta. Let's start out. When that game began and the opening drive happened, I thought Calvin Ridley quite literally was going to have three touchdowns and over 200 receiving yards.
And like 17 catches.
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, that first drive, man. Actually, it was mostly the first drive, but it was the first couple drives. But Ridley literally only did anything on that first drive. So, I don't know. I mean, Matt Ryan was just finding him. And They looked really good in that first drive. They were running the ball, they were passing the ball with ease, but when they got in the red zone, Eagles defense held up and they held them to a field goal. So, but yeah, they had something clicking.
Well. You know, yeah, that's exactly what it was. They just had they had all the momentum, and then the Eagles defense really turned that around, and they were able to stick their men, and they were able to just prevent all these plays from happening. It looked like the Falcons offense just fell to shambles after that first drive. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was their ability not to adjust to the game, or I don't know if that was Gannon's ability to just direct his defense to say, hey, this is what's happening, and we have to go ahead and move. How much of a role do you think a guy like Gannon has on – a young guy like Gannon has on a defense?
Well, he's the leader of the defense. You know, he calls the defensive plays. You know, he relays what plays are going to be run to the linebacker, and he calls the plays. So – you know, he has the final say, and he did a great job with the defense yesterday.
So like more precisely though, when you're looking at last year and a guy like Jim Schwartz, what are the key differences that you saw when it comes to adjusting during the game?
They run very similar defenses. They both run a 4-3. And if people don't know what that means, 4-3 basically means you have four guys in the line, three linebackers, and then you have your secondary. So that's what they run on. So, but the difference is, I mean, it was just the adjustments. I mean, Gannon came out in the second half, you know, even before that, you know, and made adjustments, you know, especially in the passing game. I think the Falcons ran the ball really well in the first half. In total, but they did not run the ball that nearly as good in the second half. So I think Gannon addressed that, and I think after those first couple drives, the secondary really came together and did not let did not let guys open, and I think defensive line did their job. You know, there was not that I can remember. There was I don't even know if there was a single blitz called. You know, I think Gannon kind of just let those four guys up front do what they did, and they were getting pressure and on Matt Ryan and forced him to make some bad throws. So I just think the adjustments were the biggest thing. And you know, he realized that he didn't need to call blitzes, so he didn't, and he let those guys work up front, and they got the job done.
They were able to get a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan, and they did force a lot of errors, which is exactly what we needed them to do. When we're looking at the Falcons' offensive line, and we're going to compare it to teams going down the line, where after seeing week one, where would you place them?
Yeah, they looked bad. I mean, you know, plain as day, man. They looked really bad. Jalen Mayfield, the rookie out of Michigan, got absolutely destroyed on a lot of plays. I think they're hurt. They had a few guys hurt already. Eagles fans know all about having the hurt offensive line. But yeah, they played very poorly yesterday. Didn't give Matt Ryan a lot of time at all. Forced Matt Ryan to make some bad throws. You know, he's not much of a runner, so he didn't really get out of the pocket that much. But yeah, it was a bad day for the Falcons offensive line.
And when we're talking about the run game, Cordarrelle Patterson was the person who was able to break through the Eagles defense a lot. Davis wasn't able to get much going. What was it about? Why was he able to do that? Let's just put it that way.
Well, I think, you know, and again, this game was not perfect, but I think when Patterson was in there, they probably weren't expecting the run as much as when Davis was in there. I know Davis did have a couple good runs, but not as many as Patterson. So I think, you know, they were just expecting maybe a pass when Patterson was in there, and the Falcons did a nice job of getting the ball to Patterson and letting him make a play. So I think that's probably just, you know, personnel and, you know, probably film, what they saw. So they're probably just like, okay, if Patterson's in, we'll expect pass. If Davis is in, we'll expect run. That's probably the biggest thing. So,
okay. Are there any key points on the defense that you'd like to go over before we shift it over to the offensive side of the ball?
Just giving big props to the defensive line, man. They played phenomenally. Javon Hargrave had two sacks. I think Ridgeway had two sacks too. Obviously Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, my boy Josh Sweat, even Barnett. I mean, all of them were just getting good pressure on Matt Ryan. They did a fantastic job. The secondary was – they were fine. Other than that first drive, they didn't really let much up at all. I think that goes a lot with what the defensive line was doing, but they did good. I love Maddox in the slot. I think that's where he's best. Darius Slay and Steve Nelson on the outside, I love that duo. Anthony Harris on the back ends. I think we had – a mixture of Marcus Epps and Kayvon Wallace on the back end as well. And then, the linebackers did fine. I still love the addition of Eric Wilson. And, Singleton is Singleton. You know we're going to get out of Alex Singleton. So, but overall, the defense was won by the defensive line.
Awesome. Now, let's flip it over. And let's talk... what went right for the offense yesterday? Let's start with Jalen.
Obviously the biggest thing, Jalen Hurts. He was very smart with the ball, man. Didn't make many mistakes. He was very good on, when the Falcons blitzed, he was able to get outside the pocket, make some things happen with his legs. He was accurate when he threw the ball. Just overall a really, really, really solid, promising day for Jalen Hurts. A lot of questions, not all the questions, but a lot of questions were answered. Can he run an NFL offense? Can he play a full game? All that stuff. So he looked really, really good, man. Very, very surprised and Very unexpected for most people, most likely, but he was very, very good.
And let's go ahead and just talk about that pass to Dallas Goedert. That was sick.
Yeah.
running to the right, throwing off balance, and hitting a guy who seemed like it was impossible to hit him. Need to see a lot of that this year.
Yeah, it was just a bang-bang play. I think the Falcons blitzed. Hurts was able to get out of it and roll to his right. And he just saw him from his vantage point. I mean, literally when I watched the play the first time, I thought it got picked. But he was able to fit it in, you know, behind, I think it was like two Falcons defenders. And he was able to get there to Dallas Goedert, and it was just a great play.
When we're going to look at the offensive line, who was someone who stuck out to you?
Well, they all played really well, in my opinion. The biggest thing, though, for me was the penalties on them. There was just way, way too many false starts, and it was pretty much the entirety of the offensive line, other than Kelsey, obviously, who's snapping the ball. But they need to get that cleaned up. But protection-wise, they were fine. In the run game, they were phenomenal, as usual. I mean, you know, we've come to expect, you know, the guys on the right side, Kelsey, Brooks, and Johnson being great. But Mailata and Sam Alla were both really good as well in the run game. Maybe on pass plays, you know, you're having Jalen Hurts run out of the pocket a little too much. But other than that, they played really well. They were phenomenal in the screen game, absolutely phenomenal in the screen game. It seemed every screen play got like 8 to 10 yards every play. And then the one at Jalen Reagor for a touchdown was great. And, I think that's one of Nick Sirianni's bread and butter is the screens, and they were great. So overall, offensive line was really good. Just got to clean up the false starts.
Jordan Mailata absolutely pancaked someone.
He literally just fell on top of someone.
He is a very large man that had to have hurt.
Imagine 6'8", 360-pound man coming directly at you, and his goal is to get you on the ground. You know what I'm doing? I'm saying stop, laying on the ground, and letting whoever pass me. That's all I'm doing.
And this goes back to like an example. When I was in grade school, there was this kid who we played with who was just taller and more athletic than all of us, maybe like a year or two older than us. But if I had the ball and I was running and I was a big boy, I could run, and I saw him coming at me, that's where I just took the knee. I was like, hey, you know what? I'm not getting hurt today.
Yep.
It's actually pretty crazy to see how far he's come, though, and how successful he has been so far in his young NFL career, which if he keeps playing as well as he is, I mean, good God.
Yeah, it's remarkable. It really is. I mean, it just goes to show, you know, I know we crap on Howie Roseman a lot on this show, but he made that pick. So, you know, props where props are due. And props to Jeff Stoutland for taking a guy who was – never played a snap in the NFL, never played football, and turning him into a guy, a starter for one, and a guy who just got a 4-year, $64 million extension. So, you know, props to Howie, as much as I don't like to say it. And props to Jeff Stoutland, man. Jeff Stoutland, you know, there's a reason why.
Stoutland's the reason he's here, really. Let's be honest. I mean, Howie didn't make the pick, but Stoutland was the one that was like, yo, you have to take him.
Yeah. And the Eagles, I think, kept two position coaches, and he was one of them. So that just goes to show, you know, how much of an impact he makes. So props to him. And Jordan Mailata looks legit.
You know, I do want to round back to the penalties. You know, usually I get upset when there's a lot of penalties, but every single time they showed a replay, it was so clear. It wasn't like a ticky-tack, and they're throwing the towel out immediately. It was, dude, what are you doing? Every single time. Like, the refs are – they always call a tight game to start, and then adjustments happen so the players know what to do and what not to do, and then they loosen up towards the end. But it was just so blatant that there was nothing that they could really do about it.
Yeah, I just think it was the first week. You know, it's under a new coach. You know, everything was new. So I think it was just, you know, first game jitters or whatever it was. Hopefully it gets, I mean, it should get cleaned up. So I'm not worried. I'm not really worried about it.
Devonta Smith. But there was a lot. Let's talk about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, man. Devonta Smith, man. I mean, obviously, you know, the big play was the touchdown to him. But I think the biggest thing for me, other than the touchdown, was his blocking. I mean, to have guys, to have your receivers be willing blockers is huge for teams, especially when we're going to be a heavy screen team, which we're going to be. So if your receivers come out and block really well, that's huge if you're an offensive play caller, because then you feel confident in calling those screen plays. And like I said, those screen plays were successful. So, you know, obviously the touchdown was massive and it was amazing and I freaked out and I was screaming. You know, for him, and it wasn't just him either. It was, you know, it was everybody. I mean, I think Nick Sirianni even shouted out JJ, as much as we crap on JJ too. You know, he did a pretty good job blocking as well. So
I was about to say on Twitter, I saw that JJ out there at Whiteside was PFF's highest rated run blocker. I think that was a guy by the name of Cody Swartz, but that's crazy.
I mean, and that's, hey man, I love it. I love when, you know, receivers come in and say, you know what, if my job is to block on this play, I'm going to go do it. And they did. They were phenomenal. So, but, you know, Devonta Smith, I mean, you can just tell he's a good receiver, man. I mean, he finds ways to get open. You know, there was a drive where he had like four or five catches in a row and he was just getting open every single play. And Hurts was able to find him. And I was just like, wow, man, this dude's good. So you can just tell that, he's going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a stud.
Jalen Reagor scored a touchdown.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And that was one of the screen plays they called. It was an absolutely beautiful fake by Jalen Hurts, by the way. I mean, I think it even faked out the camera a little bit if you go back and watch it. But he faked it to Sanders. And I'm like, oh crap, this play is going to blow up. Cause there was a guy in the backfield, like hitting Sanders already. I'm like, oh, this play's over, but he throws it to Reagor. I'm like, wait, what? He still has it. And then he runs for a touchdown and I'm like, okay. So, it was a great fake by Hurts. And, and just another play of just phenomenal blocking, by the receivers and just everybody. Yeah, it was a great play.
Let's talk about with Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz still playing together. We saw them both get a couple of receptions. Dallas Goedert got the touchdown. They still have that chemistry going where they're still able to share the field. Do you see that still being a factor going into the season, or do you think that they're going to use Ertz less or Goedert more, vice versa, or just keep the strategy the same?
Yeah, I mean, I think whatever works, honestly. I mean, I think if it's 11 personnel, which means one tight end, they're just going to play whoever they want to, honestly. They'll probably just switch them out. If there's 12 personnel, obviously there's two tight ends, so they'll both be out there. But if there's one tight end out there, I think they're just going to alternate. And if guys, you know, if a guy's hot, they're obviously going to go with the hot hand, which is what they should do. So I don't think there's any, you know, I think if you're going to if you're going to run 12 personnel, obviously keep them both out there. But if you're on 11, just pick your poison, honestly. I mean, they're both really good still. So I don't think it's not much of a big deal. And they'll both get playing time. So it should be good.
And the running backs. Let's talk about Miles Sanders and Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell with the touchdown. How do you think that the running back tandem is going to be run this year? Did you like what you saw from Miles Sanders and from Gainwell, and what do you see moving forward?
I mean, you guys know I love Miles Sanders. I love what Miles Sanders did yesterday. You know, he got 15 carries, which is fine. because, you know, they gave Gainwell some touches. But, you know, 15 carries, I think it was about 70-some yards. But his yards per carry were good, as usual. So, and he, you know, he was very involved in the pass game. You know, like I said, there were some screens set up for him and passed out of the backfield for him. So, overall, Sanders was really good. And then Kenny Gainwell, man, same thing. He was really good as well. I was surprised a little bit that Sirianni used him as much as he did. But I'm fine with it. I mean, I love seeing a rookie come out and play well. And he did. He looked really good. Kenny Gainwell had 9 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. So, and he was involved in the pass game as well. He had 2 catches, only for 6 yards, but he was just getting everybody involved. And I love what they did for the run game. It was a very balanced attack. Hurst threw the ball 35 times, and they ran it about, you know, 20, looks like, what is this, 25, a little over 30, well, because Hurts had a few rushes as well, so it was like, yeah, it was just very balanced, and I love that. You know, and Sirianni did a great job of calling runs and calling the plays, and so, but overall, the running back, I love what the running backs did yesterday.
Before we move on to Nick Sirianni, are there any other offensive players you wanted to highlight?
I mean, Quez Watkins had in the first quarter had a couple nice plays. Like I said, JJ, I think a Whiteside did a nice job of blocking. You know, if that's what it takes for him to, you know, turn his career around, by all means, that's fine with me. You know, and like we said, Dallas Goedert did great, and, you know, Zach Ertz as well. So, yeah, just the big one is obviously Jalen Hurts. I was very, very impressed with how Jalen Hurts played yesterday, and hopefully they can continue.
So let's move on to Nick Sirianni and his play calling ability. What did you see when the game started compared to when it ended? And obviously the Eagles took off and they won big. What was the strategy to get there?
I think you did a phenomenal job calling the game. I really did. I mean, like I said, it was just so balanced, between throwing it and running the ball. And you know, even when we were down early, you know, we still ran it, and that was successful. So I think Sirianni did a phenomenal job of calling that game. I know I keep saying it, but just the balance was huge.
You know, I think that we talked to, and everyone was worried that is Nick Sirianni going to follow the same path of Doug Peterson? Are these plays going to look similar? Is the book going to look similar? And I think that compared to past, like you said, it was way more balanced. It looks like the right calls were played at the right time.
Yeah.
They went for 2 once. You know, I don't necessarily love going for 2 all the time, but it didn't seem like a bad opportunity. So I'm not going to complain about it.
The only reason we went for two is Atlanta got called for a penalty. So we got moved up to the 1-yard line. So Sirianni was like, all right, let's just try it. So, and it was, I mean, Sanders walked in. So it was like, you know, I have no problem with that.
Did you like the fact that they went for it on 4th down?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think, you know, nowadays especially, I mean, I think you have to take a couple chances on 4th down. I think, you know, you can't go through an entire game and not try it a couple times at least, you know. So I have no problem with going on 4th down. I know we didn't convert. I think we went for it twice. We were 0-for-2, but I mean, that's another thing that'll be cleaned up most likely. So, but I have no problem with going for it. I mean, especially, you know, where we were on the field, you know, you just got to be smart with, you know, if we're in a good spot on the field, then yeah, you can go for it. So I think both times, you know, it was the right time to go for it. Just didn't, the next cute.
So I'm with you on that. I really think that Nick Sirianni did call an excellent game. I saw a really good balance of things. I saw a lot of things I liked. I didn't see much that I didn't like. I think that his coaching style played to the strengths of the team and the offensive unit as a whole, and I think that's what really made them get going. You know, too, and it goes to show when you see Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts celebrating together with a special handshake and all, that's stuff that I like to see from a young coach, too. That shows that you have a bond with your teammates, and that's awesome. That's stuff that I like to see. And, you know, if you don't like seeing that, you're just a noodle. I want to say that.
I just think they bought into what Nick Sirianni's selling, man. I mean, you know, when training camp first started, you know, he one of his biggest things was compete. You know, they made a shirt with all the things that are, you know, should be noted every single day in practice. And I think they've bought into what Nick Sirianni's been doing. And it's not just like I think he has a special connection with the younger guys because he is so young, but especially the older guys, like even with like Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham and you know, guys in the offensive line like Brooks and Johnson and Kelsey. I mean, you can just tell that they bought into what Sirianni's doing, and you know, you saw the result.
You know, and this goes to say, don't judge a book by its cover, because when Nick Sirianni had his first press conference, I was like, oh God, here we go. And
yeah,
looking back at it, I mean, if he's able to garner the respect of the veterans and of the young guys and bring that cohesive unit together, he's obviously doing something right. He's just a guy who likes football. He's really energetic. And going into these next few games, let's go there. Even if these are tough games coming up, I hate the Cowboys, but if I'm going to say that they're not a tough game, I'd be lying. If he's able to coach well, the team plays well, and they still lose, all three of them, I'm not going to be mad, because I expected it.
Yeah. Right.
Even this game, I mean, I'm glad they won, and they won like they should have, because the Falcons are bad. I just want to see the team play well. I want to see progress, and I want to see good progress.
Yeah, I just want to see, you know, I want to see progress as well. I want to see, you know, how they stand up to a legitimate team in like San Francisco and like Dallas, as much as I hate to say it, and, you know, even like Kansas City. So, yeah, these next couple games are going to be big for us. They're going to be really big tests. So, you know, other than the penalties, the Eagles played very clean football. There was no turnovers, which, you know, obviously kill a team if you're trying to win. I'm looking to see more of that as well. I'm looking to see the penalties get cleaned up, and I'm looking to see, you know, guys be smart with the ball. You know, I watched a bunch of training camp this year, and they were preaching, you know, don't fumble it, basically, you know, in almost every drill they had guys punching at the ball to make sure the guys wouldn't fumble. So, hopefully that continues. Hopefully they're able to hold on to it, because, you know, we were watching the other games and we were talking. I'm like, man, it just seems like there was a lot of fumbles in week one. So, you know, maybe that's just week one and, you know, they got to get used to things, or I don't know. I mean, or maybe just defenses are being preached to punch the ball out or whatever it is. But the Eagles fortunately did not commit a turnover. And like I said, that's, you know, it's one of the Achilles heel if you're trying to win a game. And they were very clean with it. So I'm looking to see more of that as well.
So let's go through the next few games. And from what we saw from week one, obviously these teams will go through a couple more weeks, some of them, and injuries might happen. Quarterback changes might happen. With the 49ers game coming up, what's going to be the biggest challenge for the Eagles to overcome?
I think for them, it's just going to be, you know, even though Raheem Mostert's going to be out next week, I think he's going to be out. Yeah, he's going to be out next week. It's just stopping.
It seems like any running back can do well in Kyle Shanahan's system.
Exactly. So stopping the run is going to be a big thing. You know, I mean, that's going to be for any team, is going to be stopping the run. and just, you know, try and limit, you know, George Kittle as much as you can. Obviously, George Kittle is one of their biggest weapons. Debo Samuel had a really nice day for them against Detroit. You know, I mean, they have some good weapons. They have Brandon Ayuk, who didn't really play much of a factor in the first game. I think he was hurt, but he should be ready for next week. So, yeah, I mean, just, you know, do what you did against the Falcons. Honestly, he's just try and limit the run and get pressure on Jimmy G, because, you know, we've seen in the past that if you get pressure on Jimmy G, you know, he's going to make some bad throws and you can take advantage of it. So, you know, just get pressure and, you know, limit the run.
So let's go ahead and let's talk about the Cowboys game. The offense for the Cowboys looked pretty solid. How do we stop that?
Yeah, they looked solid. I mean,
Zeke didn't have a good game.
Yeah, I mean,
Zeke did not look too good.
I mean, they only gave him the ball 10 times. And Dak Prescott threw the ball 60 times. So I don't know if they can continue to do that and be successful. I mean, they lost the game. I mean, their defense isn't good. But I think if you get pressure on Dak, you should be fine, honestly.
Yeah. Micah Parsons looked like a rookie out there.
He did. I mean, he, I think he's going to be a good player, don't get me wrong. But there was definitely some plays where he could have made that play and he didn't. You know, but I think he's going to be a good player all in all. But offensively, man, it was just a weird game for them, I think. Like I said, Zeke only got the ball 10 times. I mean, it just seemed every single play was a pass. So I think if you can get pressure on Dak, that's going to be huge, I think. I mean, obviously, you know, you can't let Zeke go off on you, but it just seemed like they just completely abandoned the run. I mean, I know they were down, but like, you have Zeke on your team, bro. Like, you're paying him $100 million and you're going to give him the ball 10 times. Like, that's, you can't do that. So, I mean, yeah, it was weird. It really was weird. But the offense, I mean, they did look good. And I think, yeah, just pressure on Dak and force him to make some bad throws.
And finally, the bane of our existence, the bane of the NFL's existence, the Patrick Mahomes-led Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, I really...
I think we got to chalk this one up.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, I don't see a way...
of stopping Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Yeah. I mean, Tyreek Hill can just run past anybody.
And if we're somehow able to cover those two, somehow Mecole Hardman will have 300 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns, is what it feels like.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, hey, the Buccaneers did it. I mean, again, I think just getting pressure on Patrick Mahomes is going to be huge. It's going to be the biggest thing. You know, they're obviously a pass-first offense, so, you know, they'll run the ball a few times, but it's usually pass with them. So, I mean, the Buccaneers did it last year in the Super Bowl. They shut them down. They only scored 9 points, didn't even score a touchdown. So, just getting pressure on Mahomes, you know, it's going to be a tall task, but could it happen? Sure. So, we'll see what happens. But right now I'm focused on San Fran. And it's going to be a big test for us.
All right. Is it time to break the huddle?
Go Birds!
Go Birds! All right. And that about wraps up the Eagles for week 1. You know, we're just really excited for football overall. Just a couple things I wanted to talk about around the NFL before we move on to the Phillies. Is Aaron Rodgers dead?
I really don't know, man. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened either. I'm still trying to that game felt like Jameis Winston was one of those aliens in Space Jam and stole Aaron Rodgers' powers. I don't know what happened, but is Jameis back?
I mean, it was weird. Like, his stat line was so weird, too. Like, Jameis Winston had 147 yards passing, but he had 5 touchdowns. And then Aaron Rodgers had, like, 200 yards passing and 2 interceptions. Like,
now, Jameis did have that one bomb.
Who would have guessed that? I don't know. I mean, Rodgers was making some bad throws. Nobody was getting open for him. I don't know. They looked brutally bad. Like, it was really, really bad.
Yeah, I was listening to Drew Brees analyze Aaron Rodgers after the game, and he was like, you know, like, this isn't something I would expect from Aaron Rodgers, and he was showing a play where the ball would go to Devontae Adams, but there was a rusher coming towards Aaron Rodgers, and he was like, well, see here, usually Aaron Rodgers would just keep his eyes on Devontae Adams, but instead he saw the rusher coming in and attempted to move forward and ended up just missing the throw because he saw the rusher coming in. That's not something that Aaron Rodgers would usually do. Is it rust? Is it not? I don't know, but it was weird.
It was very weird. It was very just a weird game overall. Like, and even the Saints, like, I know the Saints team is pretty good, but nobody expected that from Jameis. So I don't know. We'll see what happens next week for Aaron Rodgers, but just a brutal, brutal start for him this year.
Yeah, that was really all I wanted to talk about, but you know, that's one of the biggest names in the NFL, and that was just a really bad one.
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, I don't know if it seemed to you, but it seemed to me there was just a lot of fumbles.
It did.
I don't know what it was.
We were talking about this live, and it just seemed like everyone was fumbling.
Yeah. Like, I mean, especially because, you know, we're into fantasy, like, a lot of top running backs were just fumbling it. I mean, I know, like, Antonio Gibson fumbled. Damian Harris fumbled for New England. Like, Chris Carson, I think, fumbled. Dalvin Cook fumbled, and that was a huge play for Dalvin Cook. You know that because you have him.
Look, I'll be honest with you.
And there, listen,
looked like a fumble. He was down. Yeah. I'm biased.
I mean, there was obviously other fumbles too, like my boy Albert Okwuegbunam. I don't know. I mean, like I said, maybe it was just defenses are preaching to punch the ball out, or guys just had some rust on and.
Did Nick Chubb fumble?
Nick Chubb also fumbled, yes. Nick Chubb fumbled as well.
I would know because I have him too.
there was one play in the Washington and Chargers game. Literally, like, Keenan Allen caught the ball. And, like, a guy, like, jumped past him. And he didn't even touch Keenan Allen. And Keenan Allen started running. And the ball just flew out and went out of bounds. I'm like, what is happening? It was just weird. But I don't know. I mean, hopefully it gets cleaned up because I don't like seeing fumbles. And then there was a lot of fumbles in like critical moments of games. Like huge turnovers. So
Debo,
we'll see what happens next week. But
Debo Samuel.
Oh, Debo. Yeah, Debo was that was huge too. Yeah, he
fumbled. Chris Godwin.
He had the first down. Chris Godwin, yeah, on Thursday night.
I've had four of these players that I just mentioned on my fantasy teams.
Right, yeah, Debo. I mean, Debo Samuel's one was massive.
if Jared Goff led that offense down and they scored, I would have lost it. Like, in the funny way. That would have been hysterical. But, man.
Yeah, it was weird. Fumbles, but
all right, let's move on. We've talked a lot of football. I'm sure you guys are excited, but Thursday night, the Giants versus the Washington football team.
Yeah,
will I be watching it? Probably, because I hope New York is 0-2. But that's it. The Phillies.
Yeah, we're in first place.
Oh, no, the Phillies are not in first place.
Speaking of a team who isn't in first.
They are not in first place.
No. And they probably never will be again. Let's be honest with you.
You know, I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs at this point. They can't play consistently, and at this point, they need to play well down the stretch.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just I don't know what to say. Like I'm literally lost for words on this team. Like every week we just seem to come on and. It's either, you know, they've won like 6 or 7 straight or they've lost 8 of their last 10. Like, and it's just been a lot of losing, man, and a lot of losing to just to mediocre teams. I mean, let's be real, you know, no knock on the teams I'm talking about, but teams we should be beating. I mean, teams like Arizona and Pittsburgh and Colorado. I mean, we're losing series to these teams and I mean, it's brutal. I mean, we're trying to win a division here and we're losing games like that. I mean, it can't continue. This is just another year of mediocrity. I mean, we're sitting around 500 again, like we've did the last 6 years. It's
honestly nerve wracking and it really is a problem.
It's brutal, man. It's absolutely brutal.
I don't see how the Phillies can't get it together. It's not like their lineup that they're putting out is really that bad.
Good.
They can't get a groove.
If you're starting Matt Vierling every day, that's a problem.
Okay, yeah, that is. I know
Rhys Hoskins is hurt. He's out for the year, but Matt Vierling, really? We have nothing better than that. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad Miller's okay.
Yeah. It's just, we have so many guys who just are just like average to below average, if I'm being honest. Like, I love Brad Miller. He's had some huge moments here, but he hits like 220, man. I mean, same thing with like McCutcheon. You know, I love McCutcheon. He's had some great moments here as well. But 220, man, I mean, that's brutal. That's not good. And it's just, like, Freddie Galvis, I love Freddie, but he's not an everyday player. You know, he had a good stretch, like, I think it was, like, last week or whatever it was. But he's back to earth. JT's not having a great year at all. Gene Segura, you know, he still hits pretty well, but. That's really it. I mean, Odubel's Odubel. He's nothing special.
The pitching's inconsistent.
Pitching is, yeah. I mean, it's brutal. The bullpen is still absolutely terrible. We still lead the league by a wide margin in blown saves. We may even break the record, if I'm being honest. I mean, even Zach Wheeler. I know I think he had his last two starts have been good, but the one previous was brutal. Aaron Nola has been absolutely terrible this year. I don't know what's happening to him. Zach Eflin's done for the year, probably half of next year as well. You know, I mean, Ranger Suarez has been pretty solid. But other than that, it's nothing. It's literally nothing. I mean, we DFA'd Vince Velasquez, which is 2 years too late. We just DFA'd Aniel De Los Santos. He got picked up by Pittsburgh. Good luck with that. Yeah, I mean, the bullpen's still brutally bad, and I don't know. I mean, even if this team does make a run, we're not making it far.
Yep.
And I know they're like, oh, you're not even a Phillies fan. Like, yes, I am a Phillies fan. I've been a Phillies fan for my whole life. You know, I've seen the ups, even though I was very young. I was 10 years old when they won the World Series, but I've seen the ups, and I've seen when they've been – you know, the best team in the league. I mean, I was, you know, the year they won 100 games in, I think it was like 2012, but they lost the first series to St. Louis. And I've seen the downs, you know, this last 10-year run, we've just been bad. And so this team is just not good enough, man. You know, with injuries and just very, very poor pitching and inconsistent lineups, we're not good enough. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm trying to be real, and I'm trying to, you know, people are like, oh, there's hope, you know, we're still, and there is, but you know, we may even make a run, but they're not going to go far in the playoffs, even if we do make it.
I mean, it doesn't sound like you don't have, you're not a Phillies fan. It sounds like you're just a realist when it comes to these things. The yeah. Phillies haven't proven anything right. to anyone.
Yep.
They've proven that they can play well together. They've proven that they can have winning streaks, but never enough to be like, this is a contender.
Yep.
And I think you're right. That's going to be their downfall. The players that should be playing well aren't. The pitching isn't consistent enough. The bullpen is just atrocious and has been all year. And, you know, this stretch is going to either be the nail in the coffin or a glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that isn't even something for this year. It's just looking forward to the future. Do they have a shot?
Yeah.
And it's obvious that they need help.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to get into this now, but, you know, this goes back to just years and years of missed draft picks and just having poor development in the farm system. You know, I mean, this is nothing new, though. I mean, we haven't been drafting good for years now. You know, if I'm being honest with you, we got lucky with Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins and Ryan Howard. And that's really it. I mean, that's the last, you know, good players we've had that we've drafted. You know, I know Rhys Hoskins was a draft pick, but he was a late round draft pick. You know, he was, you know, a needle in the haystack. He was just, that was just random. So, you know, you're going to see teams like the Dodgers and, you know, the guys at the top be good for a while because they know what they're doing when it comes to developing players and drafting players and, you know, having very deep farm systems. So that's the biggest thing when it comes to having a successful team. And the Phillies, I would say the Eagles, the Phillies just haven't had it for the last, you know, 15 years. And it's caught up to them. You know, we have good players here now, but you need young guys you can call up when you need them and play well. And we just don't have that. And right now, the only guy that is playing well, literally the only guy that's playing well on this team is Bryce Harper. And I feel horribly for him because he's having an unbelievable season. You know, I know he was hurt earlier in the year, but his second half has been unbelievable. I mean, it seems every night he's hitting a home run. So I just feel really bad for him. It's a shame that they're wasting this MVP caliber season of just another mediocre season going 500. It's sad to see, and I feel bad for him.
Well, I think you summed that up perfectly. I really do.
Thank you.
That is the Philadelphia Philly season.
Indeed. Indeed.
We've reached our destination for the day. Thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast.
He's still here?
Andrew Knapp is still here, yes.
I'm not doing this again. I can't.
Go to phlsportsnation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. You can go to the podcast tab, go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Anchor there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can follow us on Twitter at the PHL Bandwagon, on Facebook at the PHL Bandwagon. That Instagram's coming, maybe, potentially.
Yeah, well, here's what, you know, we'll make an Instagram when Andrew Knapp is not on this team anymore.
He's going to get a 3-year extension.
He gets,
you know,
okay.
We have merch. Go to the Wag Shop. You know, rock your TBW merch. We really appreciate it. We really appreciate all the engagement that you guys give us on our polls. Please share those. Talk to us. Tell us that we're stupid. Tell us that you like us. Doesn't really matter. Just share it. You know, yeah, that's it. We reached our destination. Oh, wait, you want to follow me? I'm at PHL Ryan Michaels. You want to follow Chip? He's at PHL Chip Tiernan on Twitter. We reached our destination for the day. We'll see you at the next stop. Go Birds.
Go Birds. I hate you, Andrew Knapp. And Bryce, please don't leave. Okay? Please. You're literally our only hope, Bryce. Okay? I love you. Go Birds.